It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports City. It's your boy TP Timeless. I gotta hold it down for Sports City. Welcome to the Fantasy Feast. We got a couple of different perspectives, not just your average in Sports City fantasy football. I'm gonna start off with a little fantasy basketball. Breaking news will be in here. We'll start discussing that fantasy football. Get to your last little week of, you know, playoff positioning. However you may address your situation. But welcome to the Fantasy Feast. The call in number is, well, we'll get it. The number is 917-889-9592. You got the next. However long, I got 60 minutes left. I can do 90. But we'll see how this show goes down, man. I'm going to try and keep this negotiable for the people around Sports City. SportsCityChefs.com. Continue to check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, and the chefs. I must say you've been showing us a lot of love for these past couple of weeks, so we thank y'all. But first and foremost, I got to let in my co-host for now. My big brother from the state of Indiana, Fantasy Basketball Zone, Mr. King, a.k.a. Royce K. Welcome to the kitchen. How you feeling tonight?
Yo, I'm feeling good, Thomas. So glad to be here inside Sports City once again. First time on the Fantasy Feast. Very excited. Can't wait to get it going.
Well, he's already a fantasy monster, so Sports City, you already know about him. He's been around here for quite some time, so you already know what he do. So I had to get a good chef in here to give y'all something good tonight. So what we're going to do is we're going to dive into the fantasy basketball. Breaking news will come in. We'll see what he got on his plate because he's a Lakers fan, so I know he's pretty much pissed off with basketball right now. But we'll try and keep him calm. I know he's going to try and discuss his fantasy football situation. I know I got both sides of the spectrum that I'm watching. Interestingly enough, my fantasy football team is terrible, but I try to address the players that I have on my roster that are doing all right, but they still aren't winning me games. But we'll get into that. And my fantasy basketball team, well, I call them the Gauntlets because we're taking heads. So, but without any further ado, let me start the show off. I got the fantasy positions, you know, like throughout this week. In the next 7 days, possibly, we want to look in the next week, be interesting enough. But I want to go to big men first because it's always easy to start with the usual suspects, shooting guard, small forward, you know, point guard. So, what I'm looking at in the next 7 days is centers. I want to see where your thoughts are on this, Royce. Centers within this upcoming week, you know, whether if you got two or three of them that you think have a good deal on what's facing in front of them this week. Your thoughts on the fantasy centers within this next coming week.
Well, interesting enough, Timeless. One of the centers that I always have my eye on and, you know, people may want to refrain from because of his free throw shooting percentage, and I'm talking in particular about Dwight Howard. I think Dwight is going to have a solid week, however, playing the likes of the Houston Rockets, the New Orleans Hornets, Oklahoma City Thunder. I believe they got like four games on tap. Sunday is the 9th, correct? So,
right.
You know, there's four games for Dwight and the L.A. Lakers, and they're struggling. But you can't really expect that much of a talented team to continue to struggle, you know, all year long. Some kind of way, the ship has to be righted. And let's look at what Dwight actually did over the last 7 days. I mean, right now what's fresh in everybody's mind is the terrible night he had against the Orlando Magic, and the Lakers fell to the Magic in that game. However, in three games, Dwight posted 22 points, 14.3 rebounds, 2.3 blocks while shooting 64% from the field. Now, if you can survive and handle a week of 36% from the free throw line, which he turned in, then it's possible. Again, he's someone that you can look at. I mean, he is rostered, hands down. There is an owner in every league that has Dwight Howard. I mean, you're just not going to find his kind of production on the waiver wire, but you have to build accordingly. And quickly, a note when it comes to building around Dwight Howard, I often stress that you attack the free throws attempted. Do your research. Find guys across the board in every position who attempt a large number of free throws on a consistent basis. Players such as James Harden, if you could get a James Harden to go with a Dwight Howard. Right now, I mean, James Harden on the season is taking, for example, 9.1 assists. Scroll down, you know, you could even build around if you pick a guy up off the waiver wire like a Ramon Sessions, who averages 6.3 assists. Other players that may be available, and that's taken pretty much for the minimum 4 to 5 free throws a game. But as much as you can stack free throw attempts around Dwight Howard, the better off you stand in terms of competing still in that category without actually punting free throw away in terms of the percentage. Another big that I'll probably have my eyes on this upcoming week without the star name value would be Andre Blatch. And the reason why I'm looking at Blatch, the Nets only have 3 games. However, they're against decent opponents, as well as the fact that Brook Lopez is not going to be available. He has that stress fracture in his foot. The Nets begin this upcoming week at home, hosting against the Oklahoma City Thunder, homestand against the Golden State Warriors on the 7th, and then they round out the week Sunday night at home against the Milwaukee Bucks. So you're talking about a lot of home cooking for Andre Blatch. And in recent games, actually over the last week, in 4 games, Blatch has averaged 13.3 points, 7.8 rebounds. He's shooting 52% from the field and about 69% from the charity stripe. And the guy is very, very capable of touching every category. You're talking points, rebounds, you know, an assist or two here and there. He can get a steal. He can get a block. And I think his future bodes well inside of Brooklyn right now because, honestly, with Brook Lopez having this stress or strain in his foot, it's the same foot from last season, we really don't know how long he could be out. And I'm going to be honest with you, Timeless. I actually went to all of my fantasy basketball leagues, and I'm in 9, and I was able to pick up Andre Blatch in 3 out of 3 Yahoo leagues and 5 out of 6 ESPN leagues. And I did that because I'm not convinced that Brook Lopez is going to return, like, sooner than later. I just have this sneaky suspicion that, you know, again, Avery Johnson and the coaching staff, training staff, they're going to err on the side of caution with Brook. They paid him tons of money, but it's the same foot, and you have to be concerned as a fantasy owner, and you have to plan accordingly. So if you have an IR slot, you stash Brook Lopez, and you go out and get his substitute, his replacement, because if you watch enough Brooklyn Net basketball, they were playing through the man in the middle, and that was Brook. So that's why, you know, I feel confident in picking up Andre Blatch and rostering him in 8 out of 9 of the fantasy leagues I play in. You know, I practice what I preach. I wouldn't tell you, you know, go get this guy and he's not on my roster. So for the most part, those are the two bigs that I expect to have solid weeks in fantasy basketball. Not that others won't. However, you know, that's what I'm throwing out to the people tonight, Timeless.
Okay, so looking at the situation, one with Dwight Howard, I like the situation with Dwight Howard because he's busier this week. He has 4 games, so that's actually effective. The one thing I'm looking at is his free throw percentage and how these teams are attacking them by just fouling them. Like, probably one of the easier facets to the game is, you know, knocking down a free throw. He hasn't turned that around. But other than that, he has favorable matchups. One, even if they are on the road the next few games, they go up against the Houston Rockets, which I think he'll be effective in the paint. They're going to have to foul him to, you know, keep him from scoring. But other than that, I think he should get his set of rebounds and his blocks due to the fact that a lot of their play comes from the interior. I mean, there aren't too many knockdown shooters on Houston, so his stats should be up there. In New Orleans up against the Hornets, I think that's favorable for him as well because they really don't have an identity down there, so I think Dwight should have some numbers there. But the Lakers are just in a disarray, so I want to see if he can actually – he's actually a good catalyst to try to turn this around. So that should also be effective. That Oklahoma City game, definitely a where-are-you-now type of game for Dwight. If he's going to be able to have his usual average, which he does up against Kendrick Perkins, or if the Thunder could make it somewhat troublesome. And to finish off the rest of the fantasy week, they go back home up against the Utah Jazz, where the Jazz aren't really effective in the Staples Center, but they actually beat them earlier this year. So I think this will kind of be a revenge game for the Lakers if these guys turn it around. They are 8-9 right now under the surface, so they have to get above water to get out of that way. And secondly, hitting on Blotch, I do respect the decision because he, you know, Brook Lopez is day-to-day. The only thing about that with the Nets, they only have three games this week, and their next game is this Tuesday, and then they play Friday and Sunday, I think that is.
That's
so
correct.
So how that rolls out, you just have to have a reliable center in those days where he's off so you can pick up some numbers. But definitely that does bother me as a Thunder fan watching Blotch be able to work up against Kendrick Perkins. Kendrick Perkins actually made a statement that his winning percentage is up, but I don't know how many centers he shuts down. So that could be favorable. This is actually a question mark game within this week for Blotch going up against the Golden State Warriors just because they get out there and run. And he is an agile center, so that's what I like about it. But if he could get his numbers in that game, that is something that we have to see. But definitely on the board, I don't know if that running will take away from his shot because he does like to step out and shoot a little too. So we'll see how interesting that can go. And it should be a game where he could be effective up against the Milwaukee Bucks.
Definitely. And
My pick within this week, I got two. And one, I want to ask you a question about. I'll go with the first one with Marc Gasol. I like what Marc Gasol has within this week. They go up against the Phoenix Suns at home. The next game up against the Hornets. And the following game is up against the Hawks, where I don't think in those three games that he plays this week, none of those centers could deal with him right now. He's one of those under-the-radar centers that is – well, he's not under the radar. Let me take that back. He's one of the centers that a lot of people slept on. They didn't think that he would be progressive right now, and he's doing that work consistently. So depending on it depends on what wheelhouse works in the paint. If Zeebo's doing work, then they're going to continue to feed him. If not, they kind of feed off each other, so Gasol should be able to eat up bigs in that game also. And the one question I want to throw to you, the one big, is, you know, the fact of J.J. Hickson. They moved him from power forward to center to kind of let LaMarcus do his thing and step out. And this upcoming week, they have Indiana, Sacramento, and Toronto. Now, the Indiana game might be a trouble game because he has to deal with the likes of Roy Hibbert. But other than that, I mean, he does have a favorable week going up against Sacramento. They are, you know, one of the teams that are in disarray to me. And Toronto, I mean, they fight, but it's still liable points in the paint and rebound effectiveness going up against this team. They just let a lot of lackadaisical stuff happen. So your thoughts on J.J. Hickson, do you think he could be more of a presentable, profitable center in the long run this week?
Well, I'm actually a little concerned. I see that J.J. Hickson only logged 12 minutes tonight, and he only had two personal fouls. So I'm not aware if J.J. Hickson might have come up lame, tweaked something. I have no idea. That concerns me before I really speak on J.J. in that sense. He needs to be available first and foremost, let's just say that. And if he's available, I would like to think that J.J. Hickson is going to continue to be a contributor. He's done a solid job thus far this season. And as we're speaking, Tom, I'm trying to find out what's going on. It looks like he was benched for some apparent reason. It's shocking. That's all I can say. I'm really shocked at the moment to find that out. I do own J.J. Hickson in at least two fantasy leagues. In 11 and 10, when you're talking about right now on the season, this guy is a double-double, 11.4 points, 10.3 rebounds, one assist, 0.7 steals, 0.7 blocks. So he's a great plug-in. I also like the fact the type of schedule that the Portland Trail Blazers have this upcoming season. A lot of their players are available on short nights. So in my opinion, they have a favorable schedule for this entire fantasy basketball season, especially when you get to winning time in March and April. So I like being an owner of a Portland Trail Blazer player at the moment. But I would like to believe that, again, if J.J. Hickson is available and has not found himself in the doghouse, he will continue to be productive in those matchups. He might have a tough time, you know, dealing with Roy Hibbert and David West, but, you know, that's why it's team basketball. You can always count on LaMarcus Aldridge and the young man, the draft pick, Myers Leonard, to help with that situation. And who knows, maybe J.J. Hickson got the night off a la Greg Popovich without actually being sent home. He logged 12 minutes and then didn't play any more minutes. And, you know, shout out to you, Pop. That's how you do it and give your guys rest. So, you know, hopefully, again, owners who have J.J. Hickson will be rewarded with the remaining games this upcoming week. So that's my take on J.J. Hickson, Timeless. Another two guys I like to throw back out there at you, just to mention to the folks that I know are rostered that have four games this week. They're both playing tonight. That would be David Lee and Al Jefferson. David Lee has the Orlando Magic tonight, and that thus far he's up to 14 points, two rebounds, one block. And then they'll take on the Detroit Pistons, the Brooklyn Nets, and then they'll finish their week against the Washington Wizards. So I would expect a fantasy feast for sure when it comes to being an owner of David Lee. And then another center who is often overlooked and is truly a beast, posting phenomenal stats right now against the Los Angeles Clippers. I'm not sure if that game went final just yet, but Al Jefferson has 16 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, and 2 blocks in about 36 minutes of action. So they take on the Orlando Magic on the 5th. Then they take on the Toronto Raptors on the 7th, and then they close their week out against the Lakers. So, again, two guys that you can expect to really feast against their opponent, and they're regularly reliable players when it comes to the fantasy game. As it is, so owners should be excited about this upcoming week if you have those guys on your roster.
And that game did go final. The Clippers edged that one out 105-104. The final line for Al Jefferson, he finished with 16-10, so that's decent. I mean, I can't totally get mad at that, even though I'm one of those guys that want more out of Al Jefferson because I know he can score when he wants. He is that type of player. But he's 8 for 17, so that's near 50% from the field. He actually had 5 assists, 2 blocks, so he was pretty productive today. One person fouled, so he kept his hands to himself. So his line looks good for the night. It's just, you know, he has, you know, has to be persistent for his Utah team, because the one thing about the Utah Jazz, I don't really want to call them fool goals because they're hovering around, but they keep trading off games, and they are dangerous at home, but when they go on the road, they can't play basketball. So that has to turn around. I'm hoping that he can be consistent for this team. But give or take, another center that I did want to throw into the mix and see how you felt about him is Tyson Chandler with a couple of decent matchups this week. He has four games within this week. And he has the Bobcats. They're in Charlotte. They have the Heat, which everybody can't wait for that matchup, even myself, because I want to see the real Heat-Knicks matchup, because that first one was kind of an emotional game. I don't want to – we can't dig into that, but we're going to end up getting into that. And they go to Chicago. They go to Chicago where, you know, that Knicks-Bulls rivalry, but that's going to be an interesting matchup with him and Joe Kim. And I also wanted to talk about Joe Kim, too. I got to slow down because I'm eating a lot. And the Denver game on the night that Sunday – that is a run-and-gun game. I want to see if he can actually come and ball, because they go back home for that game after a three-game stretch this week on the road. So Your thoughts on TC?
Well, look, I'm trying to recall if I actually own Tyson Chandler. I think I've been looking at him on other rosters, but I don't actually think I own Tyson Chandler in any league, but I would love to be a Tyson Chandler owner. If you're a Tyson Chandler owner out there, you have to be thrilled. And if you're in one of my leagues, wink, wink, send me a trade offer. We can work something out. I mean, this guy is in 30 minutes of action, 71% from the field timeless. Like, that is gaudy, almost unheard of. That's just ridiculous. So, I mean, you got to be doing well in your field goal percentage if you own Tyson Chandler as far as your team, unless you went out and surrounded him with a bunch of gunners who shoot 38, 39, and 40% from the field. But if you build wisely, you're loving Chandler. He's shooting 79% from the free throw line, 12.2 points, 8.9 rebounds. Sounds very average, maybe not all that exciting. But here comes the excitement, TP. It is over the last week, the last four games, Chandler has truly heated up. He's upped his field goal percentage to 82% from the field. He's increased his free throw percentage to 86%. On 5.3 free throw attempts. You're talking about Tyson is getting hacked, getting to the line, and knocking down shots. I remember when Tyson Chandler used to struggle from the free throw line, you know, 50, maybe 60% kind of guy. Now he's 80-plus percent. Shout out, message to you, Dwight Howard. It can be done if you apply yourself, truly. Look at where Tyson is, and this is not a fluke. The guy just posted 18 points, 10.3 rebounds. You know, he's coming up short in the block shots to my liking, but 18 and 10 out of Tyson and the schedule that you just named and called off the upcoming opponents, you have to be excited about what's on tap for Tyson Chandler. I like him, you know, and I like him for the remainder of the season. I can't say that he'll be an 18 and 10 guy for the duration, with the anticipation of Amari returning. And just the way the Knicks really share the ball, J.R. Smith has struggled over this past week, which may be a reason why you see inflated numbers in terms of the points category for Tyson Chandler. However, I will say this. The New York Knicks have arguably the best fantasy schedule when it's winning time. I'm talking about down the backstretch. These guys go four games practically every week from the start of March through April. It is a ridiculous schedule. If you don't have a New York Knickerbocker when it's winning time, you could be in trouble when you play an opponent who is rostering one, possibly two New York Knicks players. So I like what Tyson's bringing to the table, and I recommend owning him at this point.
Okay, I want to stay around the paint. I want to get away from centers, but I want to stay with the big men, and I want to go to the power forwards now. Now, interesting enough, you know, they moved a lot, well, two of the notable smalls to power, being Carmelo and LeBron. So, you know, I want to be fair in getting away from those two. Even though we can end up mentioning them, we can make that a part of this discussion. But power forwards, give me a few within this upcoming week. Who do you think will be effective in their matchups within this fantasy week?
Wow. Let's take a look at this schedule. David West. I mean, I have to start right there with David. The guy is balling, you know. He's averaging 17.8 points, 8.3 rebounds, 2.5 assists, 0.6 in steals, and 1.2 blocks. A lot of times he would be often criticized for not blocking shots at a high level, but 1.2 is something that David West can continue for the duration of the season. He's getting his legs back under him. You know, he had the ACL surgery about 2 years ago. This is his second year in terms of his rehab and recovering from that. So that's when you start to kind of really get your confidence back in what your body can do for you and how to respond on the court. And needless to say, his numbers over the past week in three games were 23.3 points, 9.7 rebounds, 4.7 assists, 1 steal, 1.3 blocks on 59% shooting from the field, 67% from the charity stripe. He was attempting 5 free throws, knocking down 3.3. I mean, he really can't complain, you know, with what he's offering. First game on the schedule for them this upcoming week, against Central Division rival Chicago Bulls. So he'll be taking on Carlos Boozer and Joakim Noah and those guys. But I still look for D. West to lead this Pacers team because right now he is the stabilizer. Roy Hibbert is getting off to a slow start and struggling. Paul George can't seem to find his shot. If you're a David West owner or if you happen to be in the league where somebody fell asleep at the wheel and dropped this guy for whatever crazy reason, because a lot of people weren't that high on David West going into the fantasy season, by now he's probably not available, but I wouldn't be afraid to trade for him. They take on the Portland Trail Blazers, the Denver Nuggets, and the Oklahoma City Thunder, teams where David West can get his at that power forward position. Those opposing power forwards will have to respect what David West brings to the table, and he's once again playing at an all-star level. Another power forward I'll throw out there is Patrick Patterson, simply because, you know, here's another guy, Timeless, that is not really wasn't on people's radar. And I went out and rostered Patrick Patterson in two out of three of the Yahoo leagues that I play in. He was available. I think I picked him up in another three out of my six ESPN leagues. Can't believe people were really still sleeping on Patrick Patterson after the type of week he's had. 23.6 rebounds, 1.3 assists, one steal, one block, 2 3-pointers, 53% shooting from the field, and he's getting up 16.3 shots. Like, that's a lot of shots. So, you know, and that's over the course of three games. That's enough shots per game for me to see that James Harden, Jeremy Lin, Chandler Parsons, they're willing to share the ball with this guy. Like, he's not stepping in for somebody. He is the starting power forward there. You know, Terrence Jones and all those other guys, they're coming off the bench behind him. Marcus Morris, they're supporting Patrick Patterson. Patrick Patterson is the unquestioned starting power forward in Houston, and you can know that when you're getting that many shots per game. He's getting to the line four times, shooting 85%. He's a guy that I have no problems recommending to any owner to grab, trade for, and own through the duration of the season. If you have a good schedule down the backstretch, I will also go on record and say this. If you're rostering a Houston Rocket, please pay attention. Jimmy Beard, you know, James Harden owners, Jeremy Lin owners, come close. Turn me up. The Houston Rockets schedule in winning time, March and April, flat out sucks, okay? If you don't believe me, just take a look at it. Take a good look. And you may, you know, unless you're in a keeper league, when it comes to some of those Houston players, you might want to sell before your league's trade deadline. I won't encourage you to trade James Harden, not at all, because James has shown early in the season that he could go off for 35, 45 on any given night. And no matter how little or how few the games played per week for the Houston Rockets in the month of March, James Harden has the type of potential where you just can't trade that guy away. You're going to have to bite the bullet with James, but don't expect a lot of four-game weeks out of James Harden in the month of March, more like 2 and 3. I don't know if that's going to be enough for some fantasy owners, but that's how it's going to go down for the Houston Rockets in March and April. So that's who my eyes are on in terms of the power forward position. And I like what Thaddeus Young has done as well in Philadelphia. He's eligible at that small forward and power forward position in most leagues to the tune of 19 points per game, 7 rebounds, 1.7 steals, 1.7 blocks, 1.3 assists on 56% shooting from the field. He hasn't been shooting all that great from the free throw line, 3 of 6 to the tune of 50% over the last three games, but he is helping that Philadelphia 76ers team contribute in reality, and he has to be contributing to you in fantasy because he is touching those fantasy goal categories in terms of the steals and blocks. So that's why I have Timeless.
Okay, one thing about the David West situation for this upcoming week, he's in situations where he can go in some trap games, because that Chicago game is interesting enough. That's kind of like the border battle, you know, with Indiana and Illinois. The people who haven't been to the Midwest, if you go to the Midwest and hear about how these guys have wars, it's real out there. So that's interesting, but I think the way the Blues has been balling, I think David West could definitely be successful in the UC, a.k.a. the United Center. And going up against Portland, I like the matchup because him and LaMarcus will end up being, you know, battlers, stepping out, trying to see who could fix who on this jump shot situation. So whoever's off, I think the home cooking of Indianapolis are definitely working in his favor. But I don't know, especially the way that the Blazers put it together tonight. It's going to be an interesting matchup, so that's a must-watch situation. I'm watching that with a close eye. Going up against Denver, the Nuggets coming in there. I know that's going to be another interesting game to get a day rest before he gets back on the floor. Looking at that game, if I had to give him the edge, I think so. I think he could get his double-double on every respect tonight. I just want to see his point total come out and be successful for these guys, because his field goal percentage is what's going to be a value. He is one of those guys that does get hacked, and he will more than likely be at the stripe trying to pick up some free throws. So that's also another value on to pick up a guy like David West throughout this weekend. And he finishes it off going up December 9th in OKC. I cannot wait for that matchup because I'll actually be somewhere very special that Sunday evening. So with that being said, the next one that you had was Patrick Patterson with them starting off their next game at home up against the Lakers. See, they have an interesting week, though, with Patrick Patterson looking at this. They have the Lakers who are struggling trying to find wins, so I know they're going to try their ever best to try and slow him up, so that's going to be interesting. They follow that up going into San Antonio. They're going up against the Dallas Mavericks team. You don't know what you're going to get out of that Mavericks game, but it's an in-state battle, so that should be there for the next three games after the Lakers game is an in-state battle, because then they play at home up against the Spurs again to finish off on the 10th on Monday. So these are a great deal of power forward. Well, I don't know if I could throw Powell in the discussion because of all the talk that's been on Powell Gasol. But other than that, he has Tim Duncan twice and Elton Brand for now until Dirk come back. But for this week, it will be Elton Brand and company trying to slow him down. So Patrick Patterson, it depends on if he can stay consistent from what he did last week and his point total and his average and stepping out and hitting threes. It was something that we talked about last night. Steve said he didn't believe in what Patrick Patterson was doing right now. I believe in what he's doing right now, but just going up against the notable power forward that he has in the next four games could be an interesting enough matchup all week long fantasy. So, would you start him? Like is that a starting situation or to have him as a utility player for the next 7 days?
Well, you know, I play in a lot of daily leagues. So, you know, when the guy is up, I picked him up to playing. I really didn't pick him up to hold him. In a weekly league, depending on what your roster is, you know, it's going to determine whether or not you play him. But, again, if you own Patrick Patterson in any, you know, daily or weekly, I think you own him so you can play him. That's why I pick up guys. I don't pick up guys to hold him or try to block anybody. I'm trying to get as much stats I can get on the board. So, those matchups don't really concern me, you know, in terms of, you know, will he possibly struggle if he has to guard, you know, a big like Powell in the post? Yeah, but Powell doesn't hang around in the post on a consistent basis. He likes to be a perimeter-oriented player and shooting the shots, and he's struggling right now. Now, with Patrick Patterson as a power four, he's stretching the floor. He's trying to play that stretch four position, and he's got decent size. He's put together pretty well, and I'm confident, you know, in this matchup against them as well as the San Antonio Spurs. I mean, now, in my opinion, no one can really stop Tim Duncan. You have to hope that Tim Duncan is missing and not on his game, hope the team is struggling and getting him the ball in his spots. But right now, honestly, that's not happening. So I would honestly expect Omer Asik to spend more time guarding Duncan with the height difference there with Patterson, and Patterson will probably spend more time checking, Boris Diaw when he's in the lineup. He can match up with him, or DeJuan Blair when he's in the lineup, he can match up with him, as well as a Thiago Splitter. Even though Splitter is taller, I think the strength that Patterson possesses on the defensive end, he could guard him. But, again, offensively, these guys have to be able to step out and cover Patterson. And then when you talk about Dallas, who knows how that game could go, whether it's Brand in the lineup, Kamen in the lineup, you know. If they put Sean Marion on Patrick Patterson, folks, I'm going to tell you honestly that Patrick Patterson will have arrived. Because they don't put Sean Marion on just any old body. Like, this guy is still known for being a very, very good defender. And he can shut guys down and really cause them to alter their shot. So we'll see, you know, what kind of draw Patrick gets when it comes to that Dallas game. But, yeah, I'm starting Patrick Patterson. I didn't pick him up to just have him sitting on the team. He's going to play for me.
Okay, I got three different power forwards I want to see how you feel about them. Two are the half and half boys. In Sports City, if you think that's tasteless, I apologize, but it's funny. I call them the half and half boys. Both of these boys have the ability to have double-doubles on any given night, and that's Chris Humphries and Blake Griffin. Now, we actually talked about this outside of Sports City, you know, amongst each other on to see if Chris Humphries will end up declining because of what he has around him, because Crash actually, you know, gets to the boards, and will his board numbers decline? Because he can get his easy 10 off of, you know, 5 putbacks. He's just busy around the rim. And also, Blake Griffin with a good start. He actually helped the Clippers edge the Jazz by one, but he had a 30-point night. So does he remain consistent with Blake? His next three upcoming games, they have the Dallas Mavericks, they have Phoenix, and they have Toronto, where I think all three of those matchups actually favor Blake. And looking at the life of what Chris Humphrey has, I just had his line. Just forgive me, people. He plays OKC tomorrow, Golden State, and Milwaukee. Now, I don't know what the OKC game holds, because it depends on how they deal with them. If they keep Perkins around them, that could frustrate him off of the boards, but he still ends up with double digits up against the Thunder. Even in the game that they played last year, he was definitely effective on the boards. And Golden State, I think that's a game that actually favors him, because he's going to be at home, but he'd be going up against David Lee. I know that the Warriors like to get out the run, but that's the interesting thing about the Nets. They get back, and I think that could be a game that could work in his favor. And finishing off his week is up against the Bucks. How do you feel about those two? Because the next power forward that I'm going to discuss is going to be very interesting.
Okay. Well, I'll start with Chris Humphries. With 7.3 points, 5.8 rebounds over the last four games in 22 minutes, quite frankly, I wouldn't expect more than 11 points, 7 rebounds, and possibly 2 blocks majority of this week. Like, that's my bar. Like, if you're going to roster Chris Humphries this upcoming week, you need to be comfortable within yourself and your team statistically getting 11 points, 7 rebounds, and, you know, possibly 2 blocks. I think that's where Chris Humphries' mind is at right about now in terms of production, but it's wide open for him to do more. Just will he? And right now I'm not that confident that he will do more than that. But when it comes to Blake Griffin, I actually own him in a very competitive 16-team league where we can only deploy 6 guys in terms of scoring positions. And I was just, in a sense, kind of like having a conversation within myself, like, man, when is Blake going to rebound? I was watching the stat tracker with this game tonight, and he was putting up points in the first half. I think he actually got up to about 13 or 15 points, but he was sitting on 1 rebound, and I was like, man, I need more rebounds. Why isn't Blake rebounding like he did last season? What is he waiting for? He has to be holding out, but this is getting frustrating as an owner. I need to see more boards. 8.8 for the season is not why, you know, I actually traded for Blake Griffin. So this 30-point, 11-rebound game renews my confidence in what Blake brings to the table. And if you own him, as I do, I would encourage you to be patient and ride it out. And by season's end, I would like to think that Blake Griffin will once again be at that 20 points, 10.9 rebounds, 3 assists, you know, 50-plus percent from the field, season-ending stats. So very confident in Blake Griffin and what he brings to the table, and I like his upcoming week. I like Blake Griffin against anybody. It doesn't matter what the schedule is or who's coming up. He's that type of talent. So I always deploy Blake with confidence, and I'm just waiting for him to, you know, get back to him his old self from last season in terms of those points and rebounds night in and night out.
Okay, Sports City. I'm going to start a little trouble. So we might as well call this like the jalapenos, if you will. I'm going to add a little spice to the kitchen. Now, the other power forward that I was going to address is the one that everybody has been talking about for the past game or so within Hollywood. That's right. I'm going to Pau Gasol, and I just said I would be talking about him in a little bit, and I have to bring this up because of the loss that they had up against Orlando, had a little spat with Kobe. Kobe saying, put your big boy pants on. Now, these are games where that can actually pick up his morale. He has 4 games within this week. The next game is at Houston, at New Orleans, trouble game in OKC. I like that. That's my get my popcorn ready game to see where the Thunder lie up against the Lakers, and finishing off up against the Jazz within this fantasy week. Now, and they go back home up against the Jazz. Do you think he takes this personal? What's going on within this Laker organization? And turns it around within his fantasy week? Does he have an impact on his fantasy week? Or does he remain in a low and give you those little numbers that you think Powell could come out and be more effective for you?
I honestly think as long as Powell Gasol remains a Laker without the presence of a Steve Nash who can figure some things out in the midst of a game while on the court, Powell continues to struggle. Duhon, Darius Morris, even Kobe, they're not getting Powell what he wants. And Powell is pouting a little bit, not going out and taking what we as fantasy owners drafted him for. I mean, let's be clear, Thomas. We drafted the guy for the 17 points, 10.4 rebounds, 3.7 assists, 1.4 blocks with great field goal and free throw percentages. That's what owners drafted Powell Gasol for. No one's happy with 9 points, 7.7 rebounds, 4.3 assists, 1 block, 33% shooting from the field in 30 minutes of game action. That's what he's given out in the last 3 games. No one's excited about that. I blame him, and I blame the presence of D'Antoni, and I blame Jim Buss for signing on D'Antoni as the head coach, because those things don't mix. D'Antoni's system, D'Antoni's style, and the fact that D'Antoni is, in my opinion, and what I've observed, is notorious for singling out a player who is a good player and putting him in his doghouse for whatever reason. However, let me be the first one to encourage you, if you own Powell Gasol, ride it out. I'm telling you, if you trade Powell away, you're going to be sorry when it's winning time. You might have to put guys ahead of him on a consistent basis until Powell starts to play better on your, in terms of your depth chart. Rank your power forwards and centers. He's eligible at both positions. So if there are guys playing better than Powell on your roster, you play them. You put people ahead of Powell right now, but don't trade him. Wait for the reality of the NBA trade deadline to come and go. Also, waiting on Steve Nash to see what happens if things can change and his numbers improve with Nash there. If that doesn't happen, look for the Lakers to possibly trade Pau Gasol, because if they give D'Antoni his way, D'Antoni is known for coming to any team and shaping that roster to fit his system. Pau is arguably the most expendable name that can get them a stretch four in return. So I would hold on to Powell, see what happens come that February trade deadline. If Powell Gasol ends up on another team, from the All-Star break through the end of the fantasy season, whoever owns Pau Gasol will be very, very happy. He will be productive because that's just who Pau is. I mean, this guy can get 17 and 10 in 1.5 blocks in great percentages. But he has to be a part of the system. He's temperamental. He needs to feel wanted and appreciated. He knows what's going on. He said it. I witnessed him say it in an interview. Look, I'm going to hear my name. I just have to play through it. And, you know, you never know what's real until something happens. But they're going to say his name. He knows that. He has to be mentally tough and still give the team that he currently plays for all that he has. But you got to understand that just it is probably difficult when, you know, they don't really know how to use him. And it's affecting his stat production in fantasy. But, again, if you can put some people ahead of him, ride it out. If you're in a weekly lineup, you can't set him as your starting power forward or center in a weekly situation unless your team is just not that deep. But in a daily lineup, I'll play other power forwards ahead of Pau Gasol until he rights the ship.
Okay, so you think he'll remain in the low for this week, though?
Yeah, I think right now he'll continue to struggle. He'll continue to struggle until they make a conscious effort to get Pau off. They have to decide, the coaching staff and the players have to decide that we're going to get him out of this funk. How do you get a guy out of the funk? You get him double-figure shot attempts. 9 shot attempts for Pau Gasol, that is not going to get him out of a funk. That's not going to get him out of a funk, not at all. You're talking about a guy who last season attempted 14.1 shots per game. He is only taking 11.8 shots per game. That's for the season. So you can already see why there's a decline in terms of his points and his percentages. He's just not comfortable. He hasn't been comfortable since the season started. He wasn't comfortable with Mike Brown. Then they changed it to Bernie Bickerstaff. Now it's Mike D'Antoni. I mean, come on. Like, that's 3 head coaches inside the first month of an NBA season.
Right.
It's not smart. That's not basketball business smart. And everybody wants the Laker Nation to be where they've always been in terms of, you know, competitiveness. Guys are trying to figure stuff out. Not just what's going on the court, what's going on within the organization. And when there's clarity there, you can expect to see clarity and better performances on a consistent basis from all those all-stars on that roster.
Okay, two more power forwards. I thought I was going to get to the small forwards quick. I do want to get to the small forwards, but there's 2 other power forwards that I'm looking at that I want to see how you feel for the week. First off, I got to go with Elton Brand. These guys are actually, you know, right by each other while I'm looking at the list of power forwards. Elton Brand and Paul Millsap. Now, Millsap isn't really making noise right now, but I still feel that he could still have a high fantasy value, especially with this upcoming week. They have the likes of the Magic at home. They have the Raptors that come to Utah, and then they go on the road up against the Lakers, which we actually discussed that game before. And Elton Brand actually hasn't been this week. The Clippers away, they go to Phoenix, and then they go to Houston, and then they come home and play the Sacramento Kings. Now, I like what Elton Brand could actually produce, but what about how you feel about Paul Millsap? Please discuss both if you feel like it.
Definitely. Here's what I really think about Elton Brand. At the moment, Elton Brand is fool's gold. I mean, unless you're in a deep league situation, Elton really hasn't had the kind of season that, you know, he could be capable of. I thought actually Elton Brand could do 11.6 rebounds, 1.6 assists, you know, 0.8 in steals, you know, 1.4 in blocks. Kind of what he has to this point, but the 6.9 points, the inconsistency, he had 2 double-figure scoring games out of the last 3, but I'm not sold that things are really pointed in the upward position for Elton Brand just yet. Schedule-wise, he could be motivated to step things up, playing the Clippers and Phoenix and Houston. But I'm not sold on Elton Brand right now. I still view him as fool's gold. I wouldn't roster Elton Brand unless in a deep league situation. And if it's a deep league, the only day I would play Elton Brand would be on December 6th, which is Thursday. It's a short night, and a lot of teams don't often play, you know, your full slate of guys for your roster. So if you want to spot start Elton Brand this week in a daily league, you know, then I would feel confident using him against the Phoenix Suns. They're in turmoil, and I think Elton's basketball IQ, his talent and pedigree trumps anyone that the Phoenix Suns could throw out there, whether it's Michael Beasley, whether it's Markieff Morris, Louis Scola. He can hold his own for sure against those guys and could possibly have another one of those up days, one of those good games. But when you're talking Paul Millsap, timeless, love this guy in the sense that, you know, you can start him with confidence any week of the season. Very, very solid player for the season. 14 points, 8.4 rebounds, 2.4 assists, 0.9 steals, 0.9 blocks, 0.6 three-pointers. You know, I would love to see him get his field goal percentage up. I'm not sure that it's really where it was last year, and it's not. It's actually lower. Last season he was at basically 50% from the field, 0.495. His points have dipped a little, but that's because, you know, Corbin had to figure out how to get Derek Favors more playing time, who is struggling with, a foot injury right about now. Enes Kanter. I mean, they have a lot of young talent. And then when you talk about adding Mo Williams, Randy Foy, Marvin Williams, there's a lot going on in Utah, so they're still trying to figure out their rotation and how they're going to dole out minutes. But in the short as well as the long term, very confident in Paul Millsap. I think his numbers go up from that 11.5 points per game and 7.5 rebounds that he produced this past 7 days in 4 games. I mean, 38% from the field. You can't expect a player of Paul Millsap's caliber to continue to shoot that poorly. So I'm very excited about what's coming up for Paul Millsap. Orlando Magic, Toronto, I mean, that's chicken soup being served up for him. And, you know, the Los Angeles Lakers should be a good test to see that he's really turned that corner.
Okay, now I want to make the assessment to moving from the power forward situation because we got deeper to the big men. For some odd reason, we got a lot of impact out of, I guess me and Mr. King, you know, we got this camaraderie, if you will. I guess we know about the post position. But now we're going to the small forwards, and was it not fair that me and you are together doing this stuff right now? You know, but, and I know why you're laughing. I know why I'm laughing. I don't want to even address the guy. So outside of him, everybody around Sports City, y'all know me. So outside of him, what small forward do you think will have an impact within this fantasy week? Give me a few.
Well, I'm definitely going to have my eyes on Evan Turner. This guy just came off a phenomenal week.
But wait. Before you do that, do you really give him the edge at the small forward, or how you can use him as a small forward? Is he more a two?
No.
Because see, the thing about that, I wanted to save him for the two guard. I was kind of trying to round that out. If you want to address him at the small forward position.
Well, here's the thing, not to cut you off, that is actually where he starts. The Philadelphia 76ers start Holiday at the point, Jason Richardson at the shooting guard, and Evan at the small forward. So that's why I jumped on him because of that. But you're right, Timeless. He is eligible at both positions, which, again, is increases his value in fantasy. And owners have to be tickled pink. Even in reality, the Philadelphia 76ers franchise and management and coaches are thrilled that Evan is pumping in 19.7 points, 6 rebounds, 3.7 assists, 1.3 steals, a three-pointer, on 55% shooting from the field and 89% from the free throw line, like, that is fantasy gold. Like, that is elite status right there. If Evan Turner can maintain these type of consistent performances, he will be highly sought after before every fantasy league's trade deadline should pass us by. You understand what I'm saying? Like, this guy will be, you know, discussed by a lot of owners for trades. Like, you're going to want to get your hands on a guy that can give you those type of numbers that you see produced by the Kevin Durants, the LeBron James guys, Josh Smith, and from time to time, even Carmelo gets a good bulk of assists. That's what Evan Turner brings to the game, stat stuffing, points, rebounds, assists. If he's going to knock down shots with consistency, 50% of them, I mean, he put up 14.7 shot attempts on average in the last three games. If he can shoot with that type of marksmanship, his value goes sky high, and he's a guy that you want to get your hands on. And Philadelphia has a pretty competitive schedule for fantasy basketball down the backstretch. It's not the best, it's not the worst, but it's something that is definitely can help you in your championship pursuits and trying to close things out. Another guy would be Luol Deng.
Wait. Mr. King, hold on. I was going to bring Luol up, but guess what? The kitchen's getting hot. We got a couple of people lined up. So first and foremost, I'm coming to the 201 area code. We got people raising their hand constantly. Calling in from the 201 area code. What's your name and what's on your mind tonight? Yes, hello. Caller from the 201 area code. He might be on a cell phone.
Sounds like he's on a cell phone.
Let's try him again. Caller from the 201 area code. Yeah, caller from the 201 area code. What's your name? What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, this is Paul Gaglio. I'm calling in from Piscataway, New Jersey. How's everybody doing tonight?
Doing great, Paul.
Yeah, I'm actually, first of all, who was that player you're talking about? Just listened in the 14.7 shot attempts playing for Philadelphia, I presume?
That's Evan Turner, sir.
Oh, okay. That's a solid pickup. I feel like, you know, down the line he could be very, very helpful for any team. I wanted to actually bring up a topic. A guy that I picked up recently, his name is Chandler Parsons. He plays for Houston. Very nice, sort of a combo, two-guard, three-guard player, and he's a great sort of mix-up, I think. What do you got to feel about Chandler Parsons?
I'm very excited about what Chandler Parsons has been bringing to the table. He missed that game against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Kind of slowed them up a little bit, but he kind of picked up right where he left off. Last game, pumping in those 19 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. I mean, you can't be disappointed with Chandler Parsons and what he's bringing to the table at this point of the season. Honestly, if you factor in just the last two games that he did play in, you know, 19 points,
yeah,
5 rebounds,
yeah.
4 assists, 1.5 steals, 2.5 threes. Like,
exactly.
What's not to like about Chandler Parsons? And again, Houston, you know, this is your unquestioned starting small forward there. You know, unquestioned.
Yeah.
You're starting small forward. But as I stated earlier when we were talking about Patrick Patterson and anybody in Houston, the schedule down the back stretch is ugly. You know, that's just being
honest.
It is.
It's ugly. It's definitely ugly, yeah. I actually have one of my friends online. He's a John from Manhattan. I think he also has a 201 area code. He might be a 111 calling in from Skype. He actually wanted to get his point in on one of his recent pickups. Can we get him on the line, too?
I think this is him. John, is that you?
What's your name? Yeah, this is John. I'm calling in from Manhattan. How are you guys doing tonight?
Doing good,
John. All right, John.
Hey, Paul, thanks for, you know, mentioning me and bringing me on the
show. No problem,
show.
John, no problem. Tell him who you're about to pick up.
I actually picked up the guy who's flying under the radar, Carl Landry. He's actually, you know, been a big pickup for me. But, you know, I'm in a 10-person league, and I think Carl Landry's going to provide me with some depth at the power forward position. What do you guys think about a guy like Carl Landry? You can definitely score the ball.
I like Carl Landry. You know, he's been a little up and down. He's not as consistent as he had been earlier. Like, he was a very hot pickup, I would say, like a week and a half ago. Getting a lot of playing time. It looks like it tailored off a little, but, I mean, 28 minutes is still close to that 30 minutes per game that you want to see guys get for
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
But
the That's
11 points.
That's where you get the fancy relevance, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
The 30-minute
the 11.6 rebounds, you know, that you're going to make me start looking for a replacement, you know.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, if you're confident in Carl Landry and what's out there, again, with the word just coming out about Andrew Bogut and the microfracture, you know, surgery and all that type of stuff with his ankle, pretty much cut ties with Bogut, you can probably safely hold on to Landry because as long as he's healthy, you know, Coach Mark Jackson is going to give him playing time. And he's one of those matchup kind of guys. He's not the tallest guy, but he has some size and he can get people in foul trouble. However, he's going to have some issues, you know, guarding players. So that's why I think his numbers kind of go up and down. So if your team is built to support Carl
Landry
and what he brings to the table, then you're
that's
fine.
That's a great point. That's a great point. I actually completely forgot about Andrew Bogut's injury. But, you know, I'd like to get to another point. Actually, you know, one of the reasons I picked up Carl Landry is actually I was at a fantasy, you know, a forum. And, you know, talking about different fantasy topics. And I was, you know, talking to, you know, one of my associates, and she said that she thought Carl Landry is a good pickup. Because of a lot of the reasons you just mentioned, for great reasons. So, you know, actually, we went back to her apartment. She showed me her roster. And, you know, she was laying down on her laptop, so I just spread my ass cheeks and took a shit on her face. Niggers.
And that's how you going to finish the night, huh? That's what we got to go
through. What the hell was that? What the hell?
Oh, man.
All right, so,
yeah.
Look, this is
how
it goes down in Sports City.
That
don't really move nobody, so we'll mute the buddies, the twins, keep hanging like a pair of nuts, and we'll keep it moving along here at Sports City. I mean, because, look, it's all good. So, Thomas, what you got on the small forward, sir?
I mean, we do have another caller. I hope they're all together, but I did screen this call to see what he was. Stefan, are you still there?
Hello?
Yes, Stefan, are you there?
Yes, this is Stefan.
Stefan, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from North Arlington, New Jersey.
Okay, so what's your
talk a little about my basketball team. But it turns out I had probably the best draft of my life. I drafted LeBron, I was actually able to get Kevin Love and Blake Griffin and John Wall, and I'm actually last place in my league. It boggles my mind. I don't get what's going on. Like, I'm doing something wrong. I also got, like, Chandler Parsons on my team. I got Tony Parker, Glenn Davis, Aaron Fowle. So, I mean, I got some decent players, but my team's just been sucking lately. I don't know. You got any advice for me?
You got Tony Parker, John Wall. Do you have an IR slot? Are you taking zeros for John Wall?
No, it's a daily league. So
what I'm asking is, like, is there somewhere that you can safely stash John Wall?
Yeah,
so you're not taking live zeros for him.
I'm on the bench right now. So.
Okay, so is he not just on your bench, but is he in the IR position?
No, there's no IR. It's just a bench.
Okay.
It's 10 positions and then 5 bench.
Okay. We at that point where, I mean, it's possible the timetable with John Wall. I mean, there's no definite time set. I mean, he could be returning, but there's no new word on that. There's no new word on that at the moment. But if you've actually been holding John Wall since the draft, that could contribute to, you know, your struggles because you're playing short a man. Everyone else is playing with a live roster unless you're playing against a guy who has other players out like John Wall. You know, I always suggest, you know, if there was something out there, maybe you possibly package John Wall for an assist guy who's healthy.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I was thinking about, because I'm also short in rebounds, I was thinking about picking up Reggie Evans, because I know he's definitely going to be really good. He does a lot of work, does a hard lot of work, and I know he'd probably be pretty good on the plantation because he definitely was good back then. He's a fucking nigga.
Yeah, of course. Of course, I could sense he was going there. They sort of, all three of them are together.
Right.
The three. So listen, the three Stooges, you might as well call yourself Larry, Curly, and Moe.
Yo. Yo. First and foremost, though, Ty, I like to thank him for calling in. I like to thank him for listening in. Keep our numbers rising. So as you set out to be a clown or a fool, you know, do what you do. We're going to keep it moving here at Sports City because that's how it goes down. We rise to the top. We can't be stopped. You know what I'm saying?
Look, I have no choice but to smile about that because you know what? Like, you came to the Sports City. You know what I'm saying? Like,
exactly.
Like, so,
you could have went outside and yelled at somebody, but you took the time to listen in and dial a number. So
right.
We love it. We love it.
Yeah,
keep it coming.
It's not even it's not even to the point of getting frustrated. You know, it's internet radio. Some of them are going to block their number. Some of them are going to come up here, do what they want to do. But, hey. You can give us a decent conversation. Matter of fact, I encourage you. I like it. The call the number 917-889-9592. At least you gave us something to talk about.
No
doubt.
No doubt. So, I mean, you had to sound intelligent and give yourself an opportunity to stay on the line so you could get that out. So, hey, obviously, we know what we're doing.
Okay, so let's keep this show rolling, man. We only got a little bit of time left. That's cool that we got a lot of what we needed to get out the way. Do we go back to small forward or do we move on to small shooting guards? Where you want to go? Stay in the small forward lane or?
I mean, it's all good. I mean, you cooking it up, I'm eating it up.
Okay, so we could finish off small forward. I had a couple that I wanted to address, but you threw Evan in there. He tried to throw in Chandler Parsons. I wanted to talk about Chandler Parsons, but obviously it went left. For this week, I want to see how you feel about, you know, Gallinari with the week that he has. He has a couple favorable matchups that work in his favor for this week. And also Luau Deng. That's why I kind of slowed you up before the call started coming. I did not think that Sports City, please forgive everything that happened. I'm actually past that. But I like what Luau has for the week. He has the Pacers. They go to Cleveland. They go to Detroit. And they play up against the Knicks, where the Knicks may be the lone game where he could actually have a questionable game, but they are at home up against the Knicks. Speak on both of those small forwards.
Well, you know, as I started to say with Luau Deng, what he's bringing to the table is just solid. I mean, he has to produce to give the Chicago Bulls, you know, any chance at winning, in my opinion. He is their second-best player when Derrick Rose is healthy, in my opinion, and, you know, 19.7 rebounds, 3.3 assists over the last three games and 41 minutes of game time, 50% from the field, 90% from the charity stripe. Yeah, I mean, that was not to like. I don't see him, per se, slowing down. He'll remain consistent in his production, 18, 19 points, 7 rebounds, 3 assists, you know, almost 50% from the field, 80% from the charity stripe. I don't see that changing, so I'm running, you know, Luau Deng out there against any NBA franchise. He's just another one of those guys. When you're talking elite small forwards, obviously you talk Kevin Durant, LeBron when he was playing small forward, Carmelo when he was playing small forward. But if Carmelo and LeBron are going to play power forward primarily, well, after Durant, you got to go to Rudy Gay. Paul Pierce, as long as he's still playing in the association despite his age, and then you got to talk Luau Deng. Like, those are your second-tier small forwards, and these guys are dependable. You know, when they're available to suit up and play, you can expect, you know, solid production more times than not. Danilo Gallinari, however, this is a guy that, it's about health with Gallo and his confidence. He's off to a good start this season. 16 points, 6 rebounds, 2.4 assists, 1.6 three-pointers. You know, that's good. He's getting to the line, shooting about 79%, but his field goal percentage, I mean, this guy loves the three ball, and 39% from a player who's eligible as small forward, power forward for the season, doesn't bode well. However, he started to turn the corner this past week. In three games, he shot 46% from the field to the tune of 17 points, 5 rebounds, 3 three-pointers. I mean, that's the type of stuff that you drafted Danilo Gallinari for. However, you always have to try to be prepared and anticipate him missing time, tweaking something. Hopefully, he gets through this season without missing another game. However, his track record says, you know, he's going to sit down on you at some point. But I like to think that Danilo Gallinari, this upcoming week against the Hawks, and the Pacers, and the Knicks, they got good perimeter defenders on all three of those teams. So I would think, you know, unless Gallo's confidence remains high and his shot is falling, I would think he's going to struggle a little bit. I think he comes down from that 17, you know, points to more like, you know, 11 to 14, somewhere in that area. I think he's going to struggle with good team defense and guys that can focus on him.
And all three of the games that he has are on the road. And what about Luau? Your take on Luau with the matches that he has this week?
Oh, that's what I said when I was talking about Dang. Like, I'll deploy that guy any week against anybody. So I'm not concerned about his opponents, Luol Deng. They don't discourage me. I actually own Luol Deng in a couple of leagues, and I'm confidently sending him out there against the Indiana Pacers, which, you know, like I said, that's starting to be somewhat of a rivalry matchup. But the Cleveland Cavaliers, nobody's going to shut him down. It's just a matter of, is he going to make shots? The Detroit Pistons, no one's going to shut him down. Is he going to make shots? And the New York Knicks, they're going to have to play great team defense. But again, he has to be productive, and he's at home, and that Chicago Bulls crowd at home really energizes all those guys. So I expect Luol to have a very good week at that small forward position.
Okay, and if there's one more small forward I wanted to get to before we go to the shooting guards, and this is somebody that we were talking about outside of the kitchen, and of course Sports City knows I like this guy, you know, because he was affiliated with two of my teams, and, you know, the unfortunate situation of his health last year, he's making a strong comeback, and that's Jeff Green, and he's actually being talked about in Roto World, where I actually been introduced to that as of this week, trying to step my game up a little further. But your thoughts on Jeff Green, you know, the former Hoya, the former Thunder player, with the matchups that he has this week. They have Minnesota in Boston, and they go on the road up against Philly, one of the rivals that they have in the Atlantic Division, and then they come back home the following day and play Philadelphia again. Do you think he could excel this week in those three games, or is this something that you have to watch with a close eye and see if you want to put him on the utility situation or unless you want to start him?
Well, honestly, with Jeff Green right now, I'm really disappointed. I was very, very high on Jeff Green in the off season, heading into the preseason, and a lot of drafts. He was a guy that I was taking at the end of almost all my drafts because he played small forward, power forward in terms of eligibility, and just the type of performances I was seeing in preseason to confirm, you know, and make me feel like, look, this guy is going to be productive. He was scoring, and he was rebounding. And really, you know, even when Jeff Green was in OKC, I mean, it was about points and rebounds and maybe 1 3-pointer. He's not a major stat stuffer when it comes to fantasy. But right now, all Jeff Green can be for me and my fantasy team is on my watch list. I'll have him on my watch list because there's not a lot in Boston. And should he find consistency, Because that's all what's missing right now in the stats is consistency. And I know what he's going to bring to the table. The 18-6 that he did against Milwaukee, that's what I want to see him provide off that bench in Boston on a consistent type of basis. 19 points, you know, 3 rebounds, 2 assists, 4 steals, 1 block against Portland. That's even better. You know, I would love it to be 6 rebounds, but I'll take the extra goodies because he's touching other categories. And if he's going to add 2 3-pointers a game in 23 minutes, then he becomes a guy that you can start to play. But right now, this upcoming week, Jeff Green, I'm not taking a chance with him. He's on my watch list. He's not on my roster. He's on my watch list. And I'm going to see how he performs against Kevin Love, Pekovic, and the bigs off their bench, Dante Cunningham and possibly Derek Williams, if Kirilenko should happen to get back and play. I want to see how he's performing. And then that home-and-home matchup with the Philadelphia 76ers is just another 3 games. I need to see Jeff Green string together at least double-figure points. You know, you give me the 19 and the 18, give me 3 more double-figure games and some fantasy goodies, and I may start to consider adding Jeff Green.
I have one more before we get away with it. We're running out of time, too. Michael Beasley, when did this guy turn his situation around now? He actually is busy this week. He has 4 games within this week. They start off at Memphis, which that could be a trouble game for him, but I think he could actually excel. That's just me in that game. I think he can actually have a good game there, but the Suns, they can't get out of their own way. Then they go back home up against Dallas. They go to L.A. in the Staples Center up against the Clippers. That's going to be a must-watch game for me. And he finishes off his fantasy week up against Orlando. Does he come around the corner, or is he still one of the smalls that you think is still lacking within this fantasy?
Another guy. He, too, much like Jeff Green, was a guy I was taking at the end of drafts. You know, in those last, 11th round, 12th round, final round, if he was there, people were, a lot of people aren't very high on Michael Beasley. And what he's doing right now is one of those reasons. I mean, 39% from the field, 73% from the free throw line, 11.8 points, 4.2 rebounds. I mean, if you look at his stats, 2.5 assists, 0.5 steals, 0.7 blocks, 0.73s, what you see is the potential for a fantasy stud. He touches every category. And I mean, this guy has shown his first year in Minnesota that he could score 19 to 20 points a game, 5 rebounds, and fantasy goodies. He fell out of favor in Minnesota. He's in Phoenix. Phoenix made sure he was the first guy they contacted, in free agency this past summer. But since the regular season tipped off, I mean, the minutes have been sporadic. There's no confidence. I don't know if he's lacking confidence or Coach Gentry's lacking confidence, but the past 4 games, you're talking 24 points, 9.5 points, 3 rebounds. This is a guy who, didn't he lead the country in rebounding at K-State? I mean, I thought Michael Beasley really was going to be a true stud when you're the number 2 pick overall that could really score the ball, rebound the ball, dish the ball. I mean, I thought he really had the complete package. And unfortunately, Thomas, I have to say that today, and I've been taking hits on Michael Beasley in about 3 leagues. I was taking hits with his production, but with the emergence of Patrick Patterson, the opportunity for Andre Blatch, as well as a shooting guard, Jeffrey Taylor, when we get to them, I cut ties with Michael Beasley, and I felt like, look, I can survive the remainder of this season without Michael Beasley on my roster, even if he should happen to turn it around. I know most owners aren't very high on him, so I may have a chance to pick him up later when he truly turns the corner, if that should ever happen. But as of right now, I just couldn't continue to take the hits. It is not enough fantasy production. I had to cut ties with Michael Beasley, Timeless.
I feel you. And the one thing about it that bothers me with Beasley and him being on the Suns is Gentry actually ends up putting him on the bench for a great duration of the game. Like, you can't have a guy of his caliber that can go out there and produce, you know, on the bench. He's not any value to the team if he's sitting over there. But I don't know if he falls into that lull or you know, still has those deals, if you will, in his brain that, you know, slow him up. But I want to quickly get to the shooting guard situation and to wrap things up with the point guard because we only have 11 minutes left to call the number 917-889-9592. Sports City, I really do apologize on what just happened a little while ago, but the show must go on. But the shooting guard situation throughout this week now, there are a lot of shooting guards that we have for this upcoming week that, you know, have four games. Who do you like outside of the usual suspects, your Kobe's, you know, et cetera, et cetera? Who do you like for this upcoming fantasy week with all-around value on the fantasy spectrum?
Two guys that I'm going to talk about really quickly play for the same team at the shooting guard position. One is the rookie Jeffrey Taylor, Charlotte Bobcats. Over the last seven games, 10.7 points, 1.7 rebounds, 1.0 assists, 2.3 steals. That's where his value is, and 1.7 three-pointers. That's his value, what he brings to the table, along with shooting 57% from the field, 75% from the free throw line over the last three games, getting about 27 minutes of action, and did a decent job again tonight with 11 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 1 three-pointer. However, I didn't like the 4 of 10 from the field, but hey, the guy's been playing pretty well. I'll let that go. But his the guy off the bench in Charlotte who just lit it up tonight, Ben Gordon. Let's take a look at what he did over the last three games. He's averaging 18 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 0.7 in steals, 0.7 in blocks, 3.7 three-pointers. That's 4 threes a game while shooting 52% from the field and perfection from the charity stripe in 29 minutes of action. That's the Chicago Bulls version of Ben Gordon. That's the Ben Gordon the Detroit Pistons paid all that money to. That's the Ben Gordon that the Charlotte Bobcats have to be super excited about having on their team right about now. And what did he do tonight? I went out and picked this guy up. Like, I had to. He's just doing it up. And here's what's so crazy about it. I picked him up in one league, was real excited. In my 16-team league, I looked up, I'm playing against him. So a little love, hate. I felt some joy and pain tonight because Ben Gordon dropped 8 three-pointers timeless in 35 minutes of action. He was 9-16 from the field, perfect from the free throw line, 29 points, 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal. Look, Ben right now has the hot hand, and I have to feel good about deploying him against the Knicks, the Milwaukee Bucks, and the San Antonio Spurs. Two out of those three games, the game against the Knicks and the game against the Spurs is at home, where the Charlotte Bobcats play very well. And right now, I think Ben Gordon is just one of those guys when he's rolling, whether at home or on the road, you just got to try to, you know, hope he misses. You know, play good team defense, force him into tough shots, but he's on a roll right now, and I'm going to ride the hot hand. I like Ben Gordon this week.
Okay, how do you feel about the likes of O.J. Mayo? Now, I got you know, my friends that have him on their fantasy team, and they actually like what he's doing, and I'm not completely sold on O.J. Mayo. Your thoughts on him at the two-guard position right now?
I'm sold,
Tyler. Especially for the upcoming seven.
I'm sold on O.J. Mayo and owning O.J. Mayo for the entire season. Again, here's another guy whose value was low kind of coming into the season, unless you're really a hardcore fantasy owner and you did your homework and you knew that with starting minutes on a consistent basis, O.J. Mayo would return to the 20 points per game plateau. That's where he was as a rookie in the association and his sophomore season. The guy can fill it up. He can shoot the three ball. He is who he is. He is 20 points, 3.5 rebounds, 3.2 assists, 0.7 steals. I think he can actually get that to 1 or 1.2, 0.2 in blocks, and the 2.9 three-pointers. I mean, last I checked, no one had more three-pointers made on the season at one point. he may, some people may have caught up to him because he struggled a little bit in the previous week, but he got back on track against Detroit on December 1st to the tune of 27 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, and 6 made three-pointers. That's his game. And until Dirk returns, the Dallas Mavericks are O.J. Mayo's team. And as he goes, so goes that team. And again, he's one of those players right about now times that you deploy with confidence. No matter who the opponent is, you get him in your lineup and you take what he's giving you. They have the Clippers, the Suns, and the Rockets. O.J. can get his against those teams. So that's what I like about O.J. I'm sold all season long.
And we're not talking about Simpson. We're talking about Mayo.
Yes, sir.
Lastly, before we get up out of this kitchen, I did want to get to the point guards. And outside of the usual suspects of Russ, CP3, and even throwing Holiday in there, I know you woke me up to Lillard. If you want to, you know, break him out, we can. Your point guards for this upcoming week in fantasy.
Well, I'm going to talk about a guy really quick who I said – on the previous show that I was looking at him as fool's gold, but he is trying to prove me wrong, and he already has me wavering a little with his performance tonight, and that is Brandon Knight of the Detroit Pistons, who responded to my comments by pumping in 17 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. He shot 5 of 13 from the field, but he got to the free throw line 7 times and made all 7 shots. And that's one of the biggest jumps in his production. He is getting to the line about 6.5 times per game. I want to say, let me get that stat up to be for certain. Yeah, 6 times a game over the last 4 games, and then he got there another 7 tonight. So, like I said, that's going to go up to probably about 6.5. You know, 18 points, 4 rebounds, you know, that's your point guard. You want more than 3 assists, but I'll take the increase in points from Brandon Knight with the steals and the threes. Good percentages up from the 40-41 where he would normally shoot to 45 and 88% from the line. I like what Brandon Knight is bringing to the table. Let's see really quick. And George Hill is doing his thing in Indiana. I mean, on the season, he's only averaging 15 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 1.5 threes. However, in the last 7 days, he's up that production to 21 points, 5 assists, 4 rebounds, 2.7 three-pointers while shooting a blistering 58% from the field and 85% from the free throw line. He's getting there about 4.3 times. And as we just talked about, that Indiana schedule, you know, that rivalry matchup with Chicago, then he's going to face Damian Lillard, then he's going to take on Ty Lawson, and then he'll face Russell Westbrook. So he could have his hands full trying to guard, but if he wants this team to have a good chance to win, he's going to have to be offensive-minded against those guys as well. So those are my point guards for the week.
And I like the week that George Hill had because it is interesting with the guard that you mentioned. They're definitely going to make him work. The long game I see where he may can go off is at Chicago, whether it's going to be Kurt Heinrich or, you know, the backup that's going to have to check him. But George Hill is a smart guard, so I know he won't get into foul trouble, but they are a very interesting matchup for him throughout this week. And the one guy that I'm looking at right now is a guy that's on my roster that I feel like I have to discuss is D. Williams. You know, he has his game up against OKC there at home. He definitely has to show up in that game going up against Golden State the following game on the 7th, and he finishes the week going up against the Bucks. That's my point guard for, you know, my team and for the week. I think he could come out of this OKC game and actually make it interesting. But the one thing that I hope that he could turn around is his three-point total because he's not feeling like he normally does. You know, Sports City, we are going to close up the show because they just told me that we only got limited time. But, boys, you know, we had to get through this. You know what I'm saying? It was a good – we had a good night, I must say.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Without all of the chitter-chatter and the small talk. But give me a plug and a closeout as we get up out of the kitchen.
Well, you know what it is. It's sportscitychefs.com. Check the website, the blogs, the features, the interviews, the smorgasbord menu. We're on Monday through Sunday. Plenty of programming to suit your needs for sports talk radio. And then, you know, check me out, my fantasy basketball daily recap show on Blog Talk Radio. Airs about 1:30 a.m. And, hey, look, they call me Mr. King, a.k.a. Sports City Neo. Follow me on Twitter, at Fantasy Basketball. I'm going to be right here inside Sports City. This is my matrix. I love it. I love the programming. I love the staff. We doing it real big. We keeping it hot. Don't get left out in the cold. Come inside Sports City where it's hot and rock with us.
SportsCityChef.com. I mean, I couldn't have said it any better myself. Check out the interviews, the blogs, and the chefs. I'll be right back here tomorrow, crossover caffeine it up. These dudes got me doing more fantasy than ever. I thought breaking news would be in here, but the Wolves tried to come and eat what we were dishing out. So, you know, I love it, man. I even feel good that you came and showed your love. Regardless if you wanted to act like you guys are haters, I know you guys probably got 10 black friends and you wanted to do that. But, that, you know, I just got to stay, you know, within the realm of things. I'm actually smiling. Like, I'm not even over here frustrated. But, like I said, SportsCityChefs.com, check out the website. You can even play like these dudes and continue to come in this kitchen and love what we're dishing out. 7 days a week, the boys stay busy. You already know how this goes. Come around here every day, man. You get a dish, even if you don't like Brussels sprouts or not. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Pavement for paper, they were shoveling pavements for neighbors. I never elevated to them 5-on-5. They was playing live, I was trying to stay live, trying to stay alive. Mom's working 11:30, the curfew, I was trying to stay the vibe. Hoping them quarters stay at 5 while I'm killing. They can't stop me before the day arrive, I'll be copping again. So fuck a day job while I'm dealing, they ain't stopping me. Straight from the center to state property. Young Christian, full of bank, and all I need is one reason just to pull this burner, cause y'all told me to go next, and I'ma be goddamn if I'ma get my turn up. Young Christian, full of bank, and all I need is one reason just to pull this ratchet out. Y'all told me to go next, and I'ma be goddamn if I don't squeeze my can out.
Help you with your problems, Thug Brothers. Why when we come through, they can relate to Chef. Music help them with their problems. Turn this up. What's their problem? Sports City, that's all I got. I'm gone.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.